This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
8 o'clock hour here. Peyton is in a good mood. He's fist pumping. Chopping's been dancing all morning long. Caitlin is getting it. At 8 o'clock here. What the heck is going on? I guess closer to the weekend.
Halloween, man. We're all going to be at a sugar rush tonight.
Are you going to be eating a ton?
Yeah, I've already dipped into the candy that we got. I don't know if the kids are going to have anything.
What's your tax rate for your kids on their candy?
Oh, I don't. I just take what I want.
100%.
Yeah.
He just takes what he wants.
My kids are the worst because they get all the, like, they want the sweet tarts and stuff. And I look at their bag and I'm like, I don't even want to take any of this. This doesn't even look good.
Are you going to be consuming a lot of candy?
No, because they get sweet tarts and Skittles. They want all the like fruit flavored ones. They don't like chocolate.
Eat all the nuts. Practice makes perfect. All right. Are the Cowboys, we really haven't had a ton of this discussion, but could one make the argument, Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons? Dallas media, Cowboy media, you guys are losing your minds over 3-4? Are you kidding me? And you came in with some playoff odds that you had yesterday, Choppy, and you think the path is going to have to be winning the division, and it is a path that they can take advantage of. Bet Online sent me the odds of all the teams to make the playoffs.
Wow.
Before the season, they had a 66.7% chance of making the playoffs. What is it now?
It's 12%.
12 of making? Okay. So that would be what, 82% miss?
Pretty dramatic there, Nick.
20%.
Or 88%?
Yeah.
It's a 20% chance. Right on the dot, Bobby. The Cowboys have an 80% chance of not making the postseason. If you think they'll make it, you can get the odds at plus 300. Right now, no is minus 400. What do you have on your end?
All right, so the Cowboys right now, according to ESPN FPI or whatever it is, their chance to win the division is 3.5%. Their chance to make the playoffs as a wild card is 12%. I think it's, I don't know that they have a path to the wild card necessarily. There's a lot of teams that are ahead of them. They already have, you know, NFC losses to Detroit and San Francisco. So those are obviously, and it's the Saints too, but the Saints shouldn't factor in. But look, they've got a much clearer path than they did the NFC East. You play Philadelphia twice. You play Washington twice. I mean, if you win them, even if you win 3 of 4, I mean, you put yourself in a great spot. So the chance they win the East, I think, is much greater than the chance they sneak in as a wild card.
You think they finish with a record that's closer to the number one pick or the NFC East champion? Assuming number one pick
or the
3
NFC
and 14.
East champion?
Because I don't think anybody thinks they're winning it. But
well, what do you think the East is going to get to?
Probably 11 or 12.
Oh, you think it's that high?
Wow.
See, I feel like it could be a little lesser number because Philly and Washington aren't great teams to me.
Right.
good teams.
Washington going 5-4 the rest of the way gets them to 11.
Oh, okay.
And they have a their remaining strength of schedule is 43%, which is one of the lowest in the NFL.
I did a cow. I mean, look, the Carolina's not going to win a game.
Probably, yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't know how the Bryce Young thing is going to change things for them.
I think they're much closer to the East than they are the number one pick. I mean, the number one pick, like I said, I mean, they might be. I think the Cowboys finish with at least 8 wins.
I'll say 8 wins.
Which means they would be, what, 7 games from Carolina, depending on how many they win?
So, one of Bill Parcells' famous sayings is, and everyone, Jerry loves to repeat it, everyone repeats it, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah, and this is an actual Parcells quote. I feel like Parcells has become the Mark Twain of the NFL, where people just default certain quotes or sayings to him, where it's like, yeah, I think Parcells said that.
Mandela
and,
rule.
Yeah, exactly. Mandela effect. That's exactly what it effect. Is. But this is one that he popularized and he hammered home all the time, specifically here in Dallas. I mean, I assume he said it other places, but I heard it all the time here in Dallas. And it's become something that's kind of carried over for coach speak over the last 20 years. So when you look at the Cowboys being 3-4, Broadus and I were talking about
and
this.
And I disagree with that. I disagree with a couple of Parcells-isms. I don't even know if he's the one who said, once you start thinking about retirement, you're already done. That did not apply to Cole Beasley. We were there covering that training camp. The Minnesota Vikings, the New York Giants, the Pittsburgh Steelers, incredible record of years past, and we all knew it was BS and horse crap. So they were not what their record said they were.
Yeah.
And many of them were undefeated at like 7 games in.
And what are the Cowboys in that sense? Because, Chop, you've said if you look at the games they've lost, you might swap Cleveland and New Orleans, but otherwise, 3-4, even with how good you thought the team was totally plausible if you took a look at it. And
because right. It feels worse than 3-4.
It does.
We're covering them like they're 1-6. What's that?
Like they're 1-6.
Yeah, we're covering them like they're 1-6.
And so the question is Dallas the exact team that proves you are what your record says you are? That they are a shining example of what that means. That, yeah, that's a 3-4 football team. They're up and down. They're inconsistent. They beat bad teams. They lose to good teams. That's exactly the example of that. Or are they the team that challenges that thought process and says, no, like Dallas is an example of why you should never say a team is what their record says they are, because Dallas is much worse than a 3-4 football team. And to me, I say they're the team that shows why that is poor wisdom, because this team should be, to me, probably 2-5, 1-6.
With the wins that they had not being who are you changing?
So I think reasonably the way the two teams played, they should have lost to the Giants. Giants played a better overall football game than Dallas did.
Okay.
The Pittsburgh game is the one that you can kind of go back and forth on, because they played better than Pittsburgh, but it took a drive down the field and a fourth down throw with somebody on Jalen Tolbert's back to win that game.
Yeah, I wouldn't take away any of their wins. I disagree with you on the Giants game. The Pittsburgh one, obviously, they very easily could have lost except for that clutch drive. But I'm not saying, holy crap, that was a BS win. Mm. That was a Washington Bears win that they pulled out. So I think I would say they deserve their 3 wins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think they did. The whole record, what you are, what your record says you are, I mean, I get why he says that, right?
Yeah, I get it.
It keeps you focused on like don't worry, you can't. It keeps you with the control, but you can't control the losses that you had.
Yeah.
That you should have, right, or that you should have won. You can't control that.
All right, two things. Tell us on the fan text if the media here, our show, our station, is overreacting to 3-4 being way too negative at 877-881-1053. I don't think Tolos are going to say that. Let me throw out some other teams. You tell me, are they what their record says they are?
Okay.
Pittsburgh 6-2.
No, they're a 2-win team.
They're not a 2-win team, but I also don't think of them as a 6-win team, no.
I agree. So Parcells there, it does not apply. We don't agree with. Cincy 3-5.
That's a 3-5 football team.
I agree.
Well, they are, but they're not a 3-5 team the way their quarterback is playing. Like he's having a much better year than 3-5, but they're a mess. Like they're organizationally, they are a mess.
Houston 6-2.
No.
Talent says yes. The way they've played and the
I don't
luck
care
factor.
About none of the talent. The way their games have gone.
The talent's wholly overrated.
No, they should probably be a little closer to 500 with the margins they've played.
Kansas City.
No. Dear God, no.
I mean, look, are they 7-0? No, they're not 7-0.
Okay,
they're a 6-1 team.
Okay, yeah. They're a 6-1 team. Yeah,
they're a 6-1.
But the same stuff you ding the Vikings or the Raiders or the Texans right now for of their narrow margins of victory, I just don't understand why that doesn't apply to Kansas City.
Because I just don't understand why you can't understand that they get the benefit of the doubt because they've won like 78 Super Bowls in a row.
See, the difference, we have this fight, by the way, y'all, behind the curtain every single day about the Chiefs, Mahomes, the numbers, the analytics between Bobby and Choppy. RJ, Bobby is taking it for what it is right now. He's judging the reality of the moment. Choppy is judging championship light switch. He's giving them the benefit of the doubt. He'll turn it on. He's the best.
Because we had the same conversation last year.
Yeah, but I don't knock Bobby for saying, I'm judging what I'm seeing right now, and I'm going to bet it doesn't turn on. And I also don't kill you too much for saying, I just saw it last year, and when it comes to the big three or four games to decide who makes it and wins the Super Bowl, he will turn it on.
Yeah, and
I don't really kill either of you for it.
Like, at the end of the day, I think...
I'm smarter than both of you, but I don't kill both of you for it.
Like, are they playing as good as Detroit is? Absolutely not. When we get to the playoffs, who am I going to bet on in that game? And I'm 1,000% going to bet on whoever Patrick Mahomes plays for. And I don't care if he goes to Carolina or Jacksonville, whatever.
So I hate when you apply that thinking to the power rankings. I don't think that's what the spirit of the power rankings weekly is about. So I agree more with Bobby on that. I think Bobby's going to be wrong when he says they won't even make it to the AFC Championship game. Are you what your record says you are? What are the totals saying about the Cowboys?
214 says it's not the 3-4. It's how the losses look,
yes.
Guys. 817 said not overreacting on 3-4 at all. 214 says be careful with being negative. Jerry might be listening. And the 214 says, yes, you'll always overreact with the Cowboys.
Denver, 5-3. And we have been very quiet and not given Sean Payton flowers for 5-3.
Yeah, Choppy's been treating Sean Payton like the media's been treating Mike Leslie. Just trying not to say his name.
Yeah, by the way, all you media members, you know, hang on a second. No. And I'm going to name some names here.
Uh-oh.
From Nick Harris to Pat Doney to all these. You don't like the guy? Whatever. You got content out of his story. Out of his idiocy, you got content. Mention his name in your tweets.
But I thought you don't care about that. I thought you're like, Ari Myrov, I don't care where the content comes from. I just want the content.
That's fine, but he at least will, a lot of times, will hashtag it, right? Or hat tip it.
A lot of times he doesn't. That's why people complain at him.
Or he'll link the original story. But anyway, whatever. You know, the local media, you got to credit him. You got to mention him. You got to mention his name. Just because you don't like the guy, man, go spit.
Denver.
What does that even mean anyway, go spit?
Denver is what their record says they are if you take it in the context of who have they played. They should be 5-3, I think. The problem is that I don't think of when you think of a traditional 5-3 team that equals, they're probably going to have a winning record. So in that sense, no.
Denver, 5-3, RJ?
I would say no, that they don't match. They haven't really, they haven't beat anybody good. They beat Carolina, New Orleans, the Raiders, the Jets, and Tampa.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
I would agree that they don't feel like a 5-3 team. Philadelphia, who I feel like they've gone under the radar this season. Totally under the radar at 5-2.
Philly's a 5-2 team. Yeah. You look at the fact that they lose to Atlanta in a game they really shouldn't have. And then the other one where they lose to Tampa really bad, they were missing Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown.
I think that their record does not. I think they're a much better team than 5-2. I think they should be 6-1. Or 7-0. Like Bobby said, like their losses have been the Atlanta one didn't match up, and then
they were missing a bunch of guys.
Yeah, they feel 5-2 to me as well. Chop, I'm going to start with you.
All right,
Minnesota, 5-2.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They
thought you were going to hate.
No, they.
I thought this was going to be your Texans of the NFC.
No, they actually play well and dominate teams. No, they. I mean, they could have easily beat Detroit. They had a nice comeback there. They're up 10-0, and then a nice comeback at the end. I think their record matches.
Don't need to go to you. You and I agree. Absolutely, they are a 5-2 team. San Fran, 4-4. My last team. Are
you
they
want me to go first?
Yeah, whoever has an answer.
San Francisco is better than a 4-4 football team.
Okay,
considerably better. That's still a really good team.
They blew it against the Rams. They blew it against the Cardinals. They should be 6-2.
By the way, Kyle Shanahan, Babe Laufenberg tweeted this out. He absolutely loves this. Kyle Shanahan, the offensive genius and mastermind on the idea of halftime adjustments and what really happens.
Honestly, people never do. That's more for movies. I mean, we only have a few minutes in there, and guys break up into their stuff, and we review everything that's happened, everything that's going forward, and usually it's hectic and kind of a something show. And sometimes I call the guys up and quickly break it down, and sometimes I have to go to the bathroom, and I tell Fred to call him up.
So there it is. Another person coming out saying the idea of halftime adjustments, get it out of your mind. It's overrated. So around the room real quick, are we being overly negative on the 3-4, one game under 500 Dallas Cowboys with Micah Parsons, Tank Lawrence, Deron Bland out? RJ, overly negative, yes or no?
We're overly negative from the standpoint that we're saying the season is over. If you're saying the season is over,
I'll get somebody else.
The way they've lost means that there's a lot of problems here. A lot. And they could be fixed because they were one game off of last year. They were 3-2 at one point last year instead of 3-4. So I guess it's two games off. Overly negative, a touch.
Disagree. You're wrong. They can't be fixed. It is over in terms of serious playoff contention. We're not being overly negative.
No, if anything, I don't know that we're shining enough of a spotlight on this can go sideways really fast.
Not overreacting, because we know what the future holds, and it's going to be really tough from here on out.
The World Series is over, and guess who's friends with those Yankee meatball fans who thankfully were kicked and banned from last night's game? And we have the culprit of Mick Coli. Can you go back and eat there again today like I'm doing right now? That's all next, and Babe Laufenberg right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, here's the 1-2 to Verdugo. Breaking ball, cut on and miss. Strike 3. Ball game over. World Series over. Dodgers win. Dodgers win. Los Angeles is the new champion, and they are going nuts on the field. I don't blame them.
Is that the clip you edited?
Great call, yes. John Sterling.
That was a good call, Peyton. I don't know where you found that, but that was a good call right there.
The LA Dodgers are the World Series champions. That was kind of but not the call on Yankees radio as the fifth inning. Trying to think of other, like, okay, where is this going to rank in terms of, like, blown leads? You got 28-3, Falcons, Patriots, meltdowns, championship meltdowns. You've had David Duvall all time, Greg Norman. Does this belong, like, in that discussion and category?
Yeah. I mean, it's so, I guess, could you, they're showing the Lions on TV. Could you look at the Lions in the NFC Championship game last year?
No.
Wouldn't be that much.
I mean, how much were they up?
They were up
24-7 or something like that.
Yeah, it was the first half.
I don't know. See, it's so... Yeah, in a single game like that, yes. But obviously the context being they're already down 3-1. So I don't know if that changes. Because with the Super Bowl, it's like, this is it.
Yeah.
You either win or you lose, and there's you know 17 minutes of game time left, and you're down what you are. But, no, I mean, this is bad. It was very reminiscent to... The lead was larger, but it was a 3-0 lead for the Cubs when the Bartman thing happened. And Bartman happened, and then it was a wild pitch, and Alex Gonzalez booted a ball at shortstop, mm-hmm. and everything started collapsing around them. And then Florida all of a sudden has 8 runs on the board.
It reminded me of the Elvis inning a little bit.
Oh, against
Toronto.
Yeah.
Obviously, Red Sox, Yankees. Sure. That was 3-0. Greg Norman, 96 Masters. Falcons, Super Bowl.
This felt a lot like Norman because the Falcons Super Bowl, like they didn't make a ton of mistakes. They had a holding call. There was a fumble, but like they were trying to like, they didn't even try to bleed the clock. They just kept playing, but they were playing conservative, but also aggressive. And they just didn't mesh. Norman made a ton of unforced errors. LA didn't go out there and take that game yesterday. Like the Yankees made such routine mental lapses. I don't even want to call it that. Those were, like, Judge didn't drop the ball. He took his eye off. That's a mental breakdown. Volpe, yeah, he rushed the throw, right? He rushed the throw. Cole and Rizzo, those were mental breakdowns. Yeah.
Not like a choke.
No, that was just and maybe the mental side of it is the choke.
Yeah.
Right? But... You don't drop a fly ball in center field like that. You don't just forget to cover first. Like, that's a severe mental collapse.
I don't know. I guess it falls. I think of it more along the lines of, obviously not unforced errors the same sort of way, but like in the two Mavs Heat series, there were both a game in those series where one team was up 15 with 5 minutes left and then lost. Mm-hmm. And then those teams went on to win the series. So it completely changed the tenor of it, but it feels more along the lines of blowing a 15-point lead with 5 minutes left to me than it does a 28-3.
Thank goodness that those freaking meatball Yankee fans were not allowed in the stadium, even though they said, after trying to pry Mookie Betts' glove open, that they were going to be allowed back for Game 5.
So they had Game 5 tickets. They were going to be allowed back in. And then MLB is like, we need to make sure that they don't come back in the game.
Good.
Back in the stadium. So, and like,
shame on you, Yankees, too.
And so they took the
glad you lost
tickets away. And then the Yankees gave the tickets to like a cancer patient.
Yep.
Make-A-Wish kid, 15-year-old. So he got, or she, I don't know who it was, got the pair of tickets.
It was a boy.
Got the pair of tickets to the game, which those are like prized seats. They were down the right field line, but they're like front row. Those are pretty good seats.
It shouldn't be Game 5. Like, they shouldn't be allowed back in there, to me. Because it's not just, when you watch it, Mookie Betts is up here. They could have, like, injured his wrist the way they were, like, bending it over.
It's like standing out of your courtside seats and sticking out your leg to, like, trip a player running up and down the floor.
Yeah. To me, like, the fact that they got their money refunded or whatever it was for this game, and they're probably going to be allowed back in the stadium again next year, that's ridiculous.
And listen to these douchebags with the quote from ESPN. By the way, John Calipari is going to join us live at 9 o'clock this morning, the new head coach of Arkansas basketball. They're taking on TCU in an exhibition at Dickey's. So one of the greatest interviews in sports, in my opinion. John Calipari will join us at 9. Choppy lining that up. Listen to these D-bags, what they said. We always talk to our friends about D-ing up our area. We always joke about the ball. We're not going to go out of our way to attack it, but if it's in our area, we're going to D up. Someone defends, someone knocks the ball. We talk about it. We're willing to do this, said Capo Bianco. That's the guy's name. Capo Bianco is the last name. I know when I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here. I patrol that wall. And they know that.
You want me on that wall.
You need me on that wall. What a freaking douchebag. And guess what other meathead is along with the crew. Rob Gronkowski!
Went to college with him.
On Up and Adams, says he knows the guy.
This is actually the first time I'm seeing this live. Okay. And here's a little fun fact. That guy right there grabbing Mookie Betts' glove.
Don't tell me you know
was
him.
My friend in college.
Gronk, stop it right now.
He was on the ice hockey team, the club Arizona Wildcats team, ice hockey team. And let me tell you, the whole hockey team, they were absolute maniacs. They were indescribable just how wild
animals?
These guys. Animals, yes. How wild these guys were. Him doing that represents him very well. I mean, he is all in for his teams. He is all in for the Yankees. I remember him talking about the Yankees all the time, how he loves them so much. And that describes him perfectly. Just doing whatever it takes to help his team out. But
he's a beauty.
He is a beauty.
Okay,
and I just want to say congratulations.
Congratulations!
For shining when your moment came.
I can imagine Gronk and his brothers all just sitting there too, doing the same thing.
Doing the same thing.
You break his wrist.
Right, yeah.
I'll pry the glove open. You grab the ball.
You got to have a home field. Got to have a home field advantage.
Oh, yeah. What you wrote last night made me uncomfortable.
You got to have a home field
advantage. Describe that term that you used. That you root for, that you're comfortable with.
I want, I want the opponent to feel threatened without threatening them. That's what a true home field is. That was when I was 20 years old. That was exactly the kind of fan I was.
You want them to look over your shoulder, but not to get.
I would never do anything.
Stabbed.
Yeah, I would never do anything to them.
Yeah,
but I want them to feel like, you know what, that idiot. He might throw a beer at me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would never do anything, which would include grabbing their wrist, pinning it over a ledge, and rip it. Like, that's the point is that they didn't even meet your definition because they clearly did something.
No, but you gotta be a little sly with it, right? You know, like, I was always, when you're playing basketball, right? You're going up against Shaq, 2001. You know what? You don't want to really hurt him. But, yeah. You know, you step on his foot when he jumps. I mean, he might hurt his knee. You know, you got to do these things, right? You know, when Mookie's hand goes in the stands, I mean, it ran right into my side. But you don't want to rip it and pry it open. You got to be more sly with that. You know, you don't want to throw batteries at people, but you want them to think. You want them to think. That way, it's in their head. Got to get in their head, right? I'm in your head right now, Bobby. I'm looking right at you.
No, they are. Yankee fans are just all-time D-bags. The ones who go to those games, this is a consistent problem with them for 30 years.
Are Mets fans totally different?
Well, they're different. Like, they're different from the fact that they're ugly. Mets fans have the highest ratio of back hair of any fan I've ever seen.
But what about the men?
Temperament. Temperament, activity, doing stuff like this.
I don't think they're not as rabid. They're not as rabid.
Yeah.
Like, Met fan.
Is she a Met fan?
Yes.
She is.
No, yes. She's not.
She threw out the first pitch. She was like their good luck charm for a while.
The whole postseason.
She's like the grimace. Yankee fans generally have the Yankees as like their number one favorite team. Met fans are like more like they're Jet fans that watch baseball.
So an all-time helping to end the World Series, the Dodgers are not going home. Well, they are going home. They're going home with the trophy. Bobby Belt, we have some developing fast food news that's out there.
Yeah, okay, so we talked a little bit about how these McDonald's breakfasts that I've been bringing into you guys.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, there's a risk.
Thank you, Bobby.
That there's a problem with the onions. We had heard that there was an E. coli outbreak and that a bunch of people had been hospitalized already. In fact, I think they'd already traced it back to one death. Well, now the CDC has figured out what it is. It's the onions on the quarter pounders. That's what it did. The outbreak led to 27 hospitalizations and one reported death of an older adult in Colorado. The CDC has traced it back. They said it was the slivered onions served on quarter pounders and other menu items at McDonald's are the likely source of the outbreak. So now we've traced it back. So if you're not an onion person, you don't have to worry about it. But there are onions on that sandwich you're eating.
So, yeah.
And we're getting closer. It keeps creeping down. The states that the outbreak is in keeps creeping down south.
Oh, really?
I've seen this before.
It was mostly in the upper Midwest.
So I've actually done research on the McDonald's onions
because
I love them so much.
I love them too.
And I'm like, how do they do this? How do I recreate this at home? At first, I thought I've seen dehydrated onion where you just put water on it and bam, you get your onions. And then basically you dice them up or you slice them like that's on the... I think the dehydrated might be like on the cheeseburgers, the smaller ones. But the quarter pounder has the thicker onion and you slice them and you just set them in water to kill some of the strength of it. So you put them in water, you set them in there for like 30 seconds, a minute. Obviously, they didn't kill the E. coli. Didn't kill the E. coli. So that is the E. coli culprit. The onions on the... And I love the onions on that quarter pounder too. Double quarter pounder with cheese.
See, it's like the... I feel about their onions the way people talk about their Coke. You know the whole thing about McDonald's Coke that's out there, but it just tastes better here, which I still don't understand. Yeah. I don't think it tastes any different. The onions, I actually do think their onions are the best. The diced ones or the sliver, they're all great.
They're really good.
And you have other fast food news?
Well, the Taco Bell, the Name Your Price app is cool. It's live. It's launched and everything. And basically, it just, you get to tell them how much you want to spend, and it'll give you a bunch of combo items that will match that exact dollar amount. So if you say you want to spend $8.23, that's what you have. That's what you have left in your account in your app. You say, I have this, and it will, and you say this, and you say also have your favorites on what you like to eat.
Oh.
It will match a combo item that will get exactly to that dollar amount.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What a forward-thinking way to try and take advantage of folks who are bad with their money. Is the idea of like, this is how much money I have in my bank account. Create the perfect order so I can actually order it. Because I can't figure it out on my own. I would have just pocketed the money, but...
Now, that's fantastic, I think.
No, I actually do like it.
It's good. If only Taco Bell had a good menu like they used to. Mm. Just soft taco, hard taco. Yeah. That's it. Can't get anything else
there. I like their corn tortillas. I get it.
877. Well, the hard taco is a corn tortilla. Corn shell, dummy. 877-881-1053 is the way to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. John Calipari at 9. Cowboys color analyst on how much we need to worry about Kirk Cousins. Cowboys Falcons preview is next. John Calipari, the legendary college basketball coach, joins us live at 9 o'clock this morning here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We are joined every Thursday at this time by Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Loffenberg on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Babe. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Doing great, guys. And do you want an easy trivia question this morning or a difficult one?
Difficult.
Difficult.
Wow.
Come on, man.
Okay. I'm going to give you the easy one real fast. you'll get it. Okay, 1975 draft, Atlanta Falcons took Steve Bartkowski, number one overall, quarterback out of Cal. Who was the second pick in that 75 draft?
Randy White.
There you go. Randy White.
Wow, Bobby.
Good job, Bobby.
Well done.
Ken Huff, who was a guard from North Carolina, who I actually played with in Washington, he was the third overall pick. And number four, Walter Payton. Here's your difficult one.
Okay.
Here's your difficult one. Tampa Bay, okay, they have not allowed a punt return for a touchdown in 245 games. It's the longest streak. Cowboys are second at 190.
Oh.
Who did Tampa Bay allow that punt return touchdown to many, many years ago?
The team or the player?
Player. Well, you give me team, but then give me the player.
Okay,
245 games.
How many years
streak.
Is that?
What's 245 divided by 16?
Devin Hester.
15. All right, I'm going to have to bring in Peyton.
Desmond Howard.
It's not Devin Dante Hester, Hall. Bobby. It is a former Cowboy, Patrick Creighton.
Oh.
2009.
Oh. Where'd he get these from?
Research, baby.
Research. All right, what has your research shown on the Atlanta Falcons? Well, let's start with the Cowboys offense. Were you expecting more out of the bye week, and what's wrong with it? How does it get fixed?
Well, I don't research Cowboys stuff or game stuff. I just research trivia stuff for you guys.
All right.
You know what's funny? It all starts up front, and we've heard that said over and over, right, through the years of football. And but the offensive line, they can't run the football, in part. They don't have great running backs. We know that. But they can't run. They can't pass protect. So if you can't run it, now play action is no longer really a threat. San Francisco was not concerned about play action because they knew they could bottle up the run. Now, if you can't pass protect, which they're having a difficult time with, both tackles, now we got to keep Ferguson in to chip on his way out. Now, that affects all the routes running in behind him. So you get your tight end out in the pass pattern, he's going to pull coverage, and all of a sudden you get holes opening up behind it for in routes and hook routes and all those other things. Well, if you're keeping your tight end in, those backers are dropping in zone. They're just dropping to their area with not having to worry about you. So it just all dovetails. And I'll be honest, I feel sorry for Mike McCarthy. Are we allowed to? Bobby, are we allowed to?
Sure. We can.
I mean, you can't. So I don't want to see him run the ball on first and 10 any more than anyone else does. Now we're second and 9, second and 8. What are you going to do now? It's like, well, why did they even bother with that? But you can't pass protect. So you can't – if you drop Dak back 50 times, I mean, number one, it's going to be an L. Number two, he probably won't make it out of the game alive.
Yeah.
So it really is a tough deal because you got to have some semblance of a running game. And they really just don't. I mean, it's so funny. We're, what, 7 games into it, and everyone wants to point to the second half of the Pittsburgh game as the only really – half of a football game out of playing, I guess, 14 halves, where you say, oh, we ran the ball pretty good against Pittsburgh in that second half. So it's a real dilemma. The only thing you can hope for, and because I know you're going to, you know, we all think, okay, well, it's not going to change. You know, Cooper Beebe is going to get better, and he's played relatively decently. You got to hope Steele returns to the form that he had a couple of years ago, and you got to hope Tyler Guyton at left tackle just gets better by the week with experience. But, you know, that's just where they are offensively.
You know, babe, we talked about that the bye week was going to be an opportunity for them to kind of review things and you know, hopefully tweak some stuff and look at things differently. Coming out of the San Francisco game and heading into this Atlanta game, both sides of the ball, what Zimmer and McCarthy are doing, did you see anything noticeably different? Did you say, okay, I see what they're trying to do here, I see what they're trying to take advantage of, or did it look pretty similar overall?
You know, I thought it looked pretty similar, especially offensively. I didn't see a whole lot of new wrinkles. And the funny thing is this San Francisco defense is not the defenses that they've had. They're not as strong at defensive tackle. They're not nearly as strong at defensive tackle. They lost their safety. They've got inexperience at the safety position. So there's a number of things going on there defensively where this isn't where you say, well, gosh, we played San Francisco, and of course the offense isn't going to look good. Not to say that San Francisco doesn't have a good defense, but, again, it's not the defense they had for the last 2, 3, 4 years. So that was a little disappointing that they weren't able to move the ball a little bit better in that regard. But, no, it kind of looked the same. And the other part of it, they've got one playmaker, really, a wide receiver. I mean, a true playmaker. So if you can't pass protect and you can't wait for downfield throws to develop, you don't have that guy outside of CD who you can just throw that smoke screen or bubble screen to or whatever you want to call it. Just get the ball out of your hands, let him go make plays. Neither Jalen is that guy. And, teams are going to obviously pay a lot of attention to CD Lamb. So it's tough.
Babe Loffenberg joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Is Kyle Pitts showing to be a problem? Has he kind of really improved as a player?
He has, and I think just the offense. Well, the offense has changed in two ways. Arthur Smith is no longer the play caller and head coach, and all he wants to do is run the ball. So you're never going to have big numbers as a quarterback or receiver in his offense. Zach Robinson is there now. You know, another Sean McVay disciple was out there with the Rams. So they're putting the ball downfield. And Pitts is having a bigger impact in the games, clearly. Last week against Tampa was his first 2-touchdown game of his career. I mean, he's 4 years into it. And I think when you looked at Pitts coming out, fourth pick in the draft, the one thing you said, you salivated over was, oh, man, this guy is going to be a tremendous red zone target for us. And, he had 6 touchdowns in his first 44 games that he played. And again, I think a lot of that was, one, they really didn't have a quarterback. He didn't have a quarterback. And the second part of it was, you know, Arthur Smith's offense is geared to running the football.
Babe, you know, when you look at this Falcons offense, they're very, you know, varied in terms of the stuff that they have, the type of playmakers that they have, and the two-headed running backs there. But Cousins looks like he's really found a comfort zone from earlier in the year and is starting to mesh really well with London and Mooney and Pitts and things like that. What is the biggest way to stop or slow down this run that Cousins is in? Is it as simple as you got to get pressure on him?
I think that's true, obviously, with every quarterback. No, I always laughed when they said, you know, the way to get pressure, the way to get Brady is pressure up the middle. Well, that's the way to get every quarterback. Now, the problem is, as we know, Cowboys, as they're presently constructed, and I don't see Micah Parsons playing Sunday. You know, they can't get after the passer. They do not have they don't have one pass rusher. Odighi Zuwa, at defensive tackle, is probably their best pass rusher. And he really wasn't drafted to rush the passer. So, I mean, it's been problematic. Now, the flip side, Atlanta cannot rush the pass. They don't have a guy. Matthew Judon, they traded for from New England at the beginning of this year, gave up a third-round pick for him. He's got a sack and a half. They have six as a team. So the flip side of the Cowboys not being able to rush the passer is hopefully Dak has a little more time because Atlanta can't rush the passer.
Babe Loffenberg, Cowboys color analyst, with us every Thursday at this time on the D&M Leasing Hotline. What has surprised you the most about the Cowboys season to this point?
Boy, that's a good question. I thought they would be able to run the ball a little bit better.
Okay.
And you remember Mike McCarthy made the declaration when they had the separation of ways with Kellen Moore, because I really felt like it was directed at Kellen. Mm-hmm. But he said, we're going to run the damn football.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep. Yeah.
And they can't run the damn football. So I know that's probably disappointing to him. But, yeah, I thought they'd be able to run the ball a little bit better. I mean, they're the worst rushing team, basically, in the NFL.
Yep.
I didn't see that coming. Now, could I have seen him at 20? Right in that number? Yes. They were going to be a less than average running team, but I didn't see him as being one of the worst in the NFL. And really, that's where they are.
Babe, is this game going to have to be a shootout win if they win?
You know, it's funny. I always say you got to play the game that's presented to you that day. And by that, I mean, I can't tell you the number of games I've gone into it and told Brad, boy, this is going to be low scoring. And it turns out 50 to 48.
Yeah.
Or I said, boys, get ready for a shootout. Get your vocabulary out. And it's 13-10. So I just never know how they're going to play out. I do think Atlanta's going to score some points. I don't think there's any question about that. And when you look at their offense, you know, they should be good. Their last four picks have all been top 10 picks. Their last four drafts have all gone to offensive players. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, who was fourth overall. Now, obviously, they're not getting anything out of Penix right now. He was eighth, but there's a reason their defense is bad, and there's a reason their offense is pretty potent. It's because they've been spending all their draft capital on the offensive side of the football. So they're going to put up some points. And let me just say quickly, I'm a bigger Kirk Cousin fan than probably most people. And I said at the time, I did an interview. May have been Sally Jenkins, Sean Shreve's probably familiar.
Washington Post.
Washington columnist. Yeah. And this was when Cousins was there. And I said, and he was on, I think, the second year of his franchise tag. And I said, you can go a long time looking for a guy as good as Kirk Cousins. I feel the same way about Dak here. And Washington has done that. So in the last 30 years, I'm going to throw some names out to you. These are all high draft picks, first-round draft picks for Washington. Heath Shuler, Patrick Ramsey, Jason Campbell, RG3, Dwayne Haskins. Those are five first-round picks that never really panned out for him. And you've got a guy in Kirk Cousins up there. What are you doing going to look for something else? And obviously they took Dwayne Haskins, and that didn't work out. But they appeared to have hit on Jaden Daniels. So I think we can all agree on that. But, again, I thought Washington was foolish. As much as they bungled everything up there, I think they bungled that too because, again, Cousins, to me, if you told me that's my quarterback, I say, okay, I can win with that. Now, he's got the Dak syndrome. He's 1-3 in the playoffs, and that's what everybody looks at. And, you know, he's got to turn that narrative around. Don't know if it'll happen. But we know what happened with Matthew Stafford. One minute it was, he was just a guy that racks up big numbers but doesn't win. Then he goes to the Rams and he wins the Super Bowl. So if you can get some people around him, I really like that. I like Kirk Cousins.
Great as always, babe. We appreciate it. Have a great call, and congrats on getting us on the trivia this week.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Bye-bye. Babe. Babe Loffenberg, Cowboys color analyst on the D&M Leasing Hotline. John Calipari joins the show of Wales. Final hour, Thursday edition, kicks off with Cal after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.